And it's now 10 minutes past 1 o'clock. Sorry to be a little bit late with today's topical currents. Thanks for listening. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman with you. Today we discuss animal welfare and captivity issues with two South Florida-based activists. First, it's Wendy King. Her most ardent cause now is the orca known as Lolita at the Miami Seaquarium.
Yes, and she's the Miami president and team captain of Shutdown Palace. Palace Entertainment is the International Water Theme Park Corporation, which is the owner of the Miami Seaquarium and many other parks. We'll learn more about efforts to retire Lolita after 46 years to the day of performances. Welcome to you, Wendy.
Thank you.
Also with us is activist and author Susan Hargreaves. She has a long history of opposition to captive wildlife and is also the founder and executive director of Animal Hero Kids, an educational organization which presents programs for thousands of students each year. Welcome to you, Susan Hargreaves.
Thank you so much.
Welcome back, I should say.
Yeah, good to have you with us. And joining us a little bit later in the program will be Dr. Ian Kupke. In putting together today's program, producers did invite participation from numerous sources, including the Miami Seaquarium, Zoo Miami. None of the invited groups chose to participate. So let's begin with you, Wendy King. Tell us more about you and your background and how you came to where you are today.
Right. I grew up in South Florida. After watching Blackfish, I learned about the cruelty that's happening at Miami Seaquarium with Lolita and other orcas at SeaWorld. And so I started to get involved in organized protests of Miami Seaquarium, as well as all the parks that Palace Entertainment owns.
Okay, and let's just go right to Lolita. Just tell us her story, if you would, in brief. How she came to the Seaquarium, when she came, obviously it was 46 years ago today, and Hugo and her capture, like that.
Right. Lolita was swimming free, basically, with her family this day 47 years ago when a group of fishermen used bombs and spears and captured a large group of orcas. They were sold to marine parks. Lolita was sold to the Miami Seaquarium along with her mate, Orca Hugo. He later committed suicide a few years later by bashing his head against the wall.
They think it's suicide because of what he did, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
And she's been held in captivity with no other orca for companionship for many years now. She has no shade from the sun. And so we're hoping to get her retired while there is still time.
And orcas are very social creatures. Each pod will have its own language, similar to the porpoise in the sense of the communication skills.
Yes, orcas are highly social, even more so than humans. Their whole sense of self is wrapped up with their family. So, especially for orcas, even more so than other animals, it's especially cruel to keep one confined by themselves.
And we'll get more to her and her family when we get with Dr. Kupke, who will be on in a while. Okay, Susan Hargreaves, you and Animal Hero Kids, and how long you've been involved in protesting captive animals.
Yeah, and since 1980, I have been focusing on captive wildlife issues. And one more thing about Lolita. Lolita's family pod, the mother is identified and still alive in the San Juan Islands.
Right. We'll get to that. Yes. L25, she's known as.
And I have seen some positive changes for captive wildlife. And the major positive change that I have seen is the public shift. The fact is that the general public now is shocked when they realize the miserable life captive wildlife has. The reality behind the bars, the cages, the tanks is pure misery. It would be like us never leaving this room again, and that's the rest of our lives. So the fact is that we have really seen a sea change, and that sea change is embodied in some decisions that have been made lately. We have 34 countries worldwide that actually have banned captive wildlife being used for tricks in the circus. We also have over 40 cities in North America, in the United States, that have banned electroshock prods and animals being displayed in circuses. And I actually spoke at the first exotic animal display ban in Hollywood, Florida, in the 80s. It was 89.
What about captive efforts to stave off extinction of certain species?
That's a very good question. I worked with ZooCheck as a volunteer, going to each and every zoo with a checklist. And the fact is, if you check out ZooCheck, you will find out that the main majority of zoos have very, very little captive breeding program of endangered species. And then the introduction is exceedingly hard. The fact is that zoos are here for profit, and they breed surplus animals, end up happening. And then you see instances of people were so shocked at the giraffe, Marius, that was chopped up by the Denmark Zoo, a young, healthy giraffe, and fed to the lions, and children were invited to watch. And people
were also
shocked.
Had the incident in Cincinnati. We
yes.
had the incident at the Palm Beach Zoo
yes.
not long ago.
Yeah, and Harambee,
the gorilla.
Yeah. Yeah. So the fact is that wildlife and humans in close proximity do not mix.
Wendy, it's a little confusing. First, tell us where things stand right now in terms of lawsuits against the Miami Seaquarium for violating the Endangered Species Act, the Animal Welfare Act, and then there's a lawsuit against the USDA for violating the Animal Welfare Act and licensing the Seaquarium to have an orca. Could you clarify where things are right now?
Yeah, I believe the most recent lawsuit is involving PETA, Orca Network, Animal Legal Defense Fund, and they are suing the USDA basically for issuing a license to the Miami Seaquarium under the name of their new owner, Palace Entertainment, because they never went through the requirements to get that license.
A recent federal district court, though, did rule against or in the favor of Miami Seaquarium, saying that they could keep Lolita as they do now.
Yeah, unfortunately, they didn't hear it. They didn't hear the evidence that would have been presented. The Seaquarium is in blatant violation of the Animal Welfare Act and the Endangered Species Act, so that decision is being appealed.
Well, we're going to learn more about that also from Dr. Kupke. It's Topical Currents. We're talking about animal captivity and the issues surrounding that, as well as the captivity of Lolita. And I do think it was 1970 she was captured, August 8th, right?
Correct.
So, okay. And we're going to be joined by Dr. Kupke. We need to take a short break on today's Topical Currents. We're with Susan Hargreaves from Animal Hero Kids and Wendy King, who is the founder and president of Shutdown Palace. We'll be right back.
And 20 minutes past 1 o'clock, it is today's Topical Currents, Monday edition, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. If you'd like to join in our discussion today about captive animals, you're certainly welcome to the number 1-800-743-9576. That's 1-800-743-WLRN. Also email, if you'd like to send that along, radio@WLRN.org. That's radio@WLRN.org. So next on today's edition, we speak with veterinarian Dr. Ian Kupke. You know him as our Topical Currents resident veterinarian from our At Your Service pet editions.
Dr. Kupke has written several articles about Lolita and orca habitats, orca behavior, including the San Juan Islands off the coast of Washington State. That's the home of the orca thought to be the mother of Lolita. She's simply known as L-25. L-25 still lives with those of Lolita's birth family. Welcome to you, Dr. Kupke.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, good to... Good it's to a different back. Way to have you, yeah. just for the record, before we get to some facts about everything, you were not always in favor of the release of Lolita.
Well, I came to this thing from the outside, and what most of the world is influenced by basically publicity, and I came to Miami and heard heard about these captive facilities, and of course, you know, everybody wants to see a whale, but I'd not really thought it through. And one of the, I mean, I said your other speaker was talking about the shift in world opinion against the captivity concept in general.
Right, Susan Hargreaves.
And that is very much what I've seen. But one of the issues that struck me right away was that, given the fact that we're becoming more aware of the fact that animals do not thrive in captivity, that that captive populations have a tough time being reintroduced into a general society. But Lolita is actually a rather special case, in that she was wild caught, yet old enough to still remember where she came from. They have discovered that the sounds that she makes are clearly identifiable as the same sounds as her own resident population make. Mm. But anatomically, and this is where this gets interesting, orcas are not like dogs and cats, my bread and butter. They're really like no other animal in captivity. Highly intelligent, socially complex. The southern resident killer whales spend their entire lives in closely knit family groups or pods, and they do everything together. They're in constant communication. They touch each other. They hunt together. They're never separated from each other. And anatomically, orcas are rather unusual in that they have a large number of specialized brain cells called spindle cell neurons. And these cells allow, humans have these too. These cells allow us to experience family connections, cultural identity, love, attachments, social interactions. They're literally considered one of the things that sets apart what we would claim to be animals of higher intelligence.
And just to interrupt for one second, these spindle cell neurons, you say, were once dubbed the cell that makes us human.
Right, right, right. Well, but orcas have three times the number that humans do, and they've had them for twice as long.
Doctor.
So right there, you're talking about an animal that perhaps humanity's never had to grapple with. You're talking about an animal that that potentially, perhaps, certainly equals us in intelligence, but it's very difficult, of course, to define that because most intelligence tests are designed to test human intelligence. And literally, this is almost an alien species to us because their entire way of expressing intelligence is different to us. They travel huge distances, 75 to 100 miles a day, and during that entire excursion, they're communicating, touching, hunting, solving problems, raising calves as a community. They're surrounded by sound, literally 360 degrees. They obtain information about the world about them from the sound, the echoes of the sounds that they send. Now think of an animal that lives in a 360-degree interactive environment that's constantly reassured by the family that they've known since birth, and then take an animal and put it in a concrete tank and just imagine.
I suppose it's rather amazing that Lolita has lasted this long in captivity.
It's amazing she hasn't gone insane, because I can't imagine of a human being existing in that sort of situation. If you watch animal behavior, animal body language on a daily basis, you do get a sense of what is natural and what is not. Lolita is exhibiting repetitive, pointless behavior, such as head bopping and floating on her side. You may be familiar with the feather picking phenomenon in pet parrots. This is a captive associated dysfunction.
Go ahead. I went into the Miami Sea Aquarium with a video camera, and I videotaped Lolita and dolphins, and Lolita was scarily still, not even moving. This is no show,
right?
No people, no, just almost like a dead fish.
Just catatonic.
And the curved dorsal fin.
Yes. How they've recorded her making sounds that map very nicely with her population, and you know, because of that, that is the fact that she isn't insane is one of the many reasons why a rehabilitation, a return to her environment is very much a viable proposal. And the folks that have put together the rehabilitation and return plan have literally thought through everything.
What would be those logistics?
Yeah, and would you talk about how she differs from Keiko?
Well, we have no idea where Keiko's family went.
Okay.
They did their very best with Keiko, but there was not a clear idea about where to bring her back, or indeed whether we could actually to bring him back, or where in fact to reintroduce him to a population that would look after her. But with Lisa, we know who her mother is, we know where her population is, and I think that the Keiko experience still was a success, insofar as we did actually get 5 years of freedom from him, as opposed to some people think it was a failure. I think the odds were so heavily stacked against Keiko's successful rehabilitation. 5 years is still something to be very proud of.
Now, Lolita's retirement, if it happens, wouldn't be completely free. It would still be in captivity, but in her native waters. Is that correct?
Well, interestingly enough, one of my employees just got her little girl into a Montessori school. And what I found interesting learning about the Montessori concept is, in fact, the plan to retire Lolita is very Montessori, in that we're letting her push her own limits. The first step is to train her to accept a stretcher. The next step is to take her to a special C-pen where her needs are still met, but now she's able to interact with her world in terms of sound. And of course, people are going to be watching how the native population responds to that. And the plan literally allows her to stay in the pen. If she wants, for the rest of her life. So she's not being let loose to fend for herself. It's going to be her choice. She's going to drive this. And what it is believed is, as she reestablishes her place in this community, then she's going to choose to leave. But the point is, she gets to make the decisions. This is something that enables us to ensure that she's going to be okay. If she chooses to stay in that pen for the rest of her life, that's still going to be a phenomenal improvement for where she is. She's going to be cared for, monitored, but if she chooses to swim out that pen and never come back again, then that's good too. And of course, from a veterinary point of view, the thing I was asked to look at before this plan was really gone forward was to make sure that the population is protected too. Part of this is to make sure Lolita is thoroughly health screened, so she's not introducing anything into the wild population. But I think the thing that kicked me really was the fact that, yes, she's an older orca, perhaps not reproductively active, maybe not, maybe so, but in the pod population dynamics, older maternal matriarchal type whales still have a place in the community. They still help with the care of the young ones. They still help with the function of the pods. So she still very much has a potential role to play in the long term health of the southern resident killer whale population. And she would be like a godmother. There's one of the oldest whales there, they nicknamed Granny. They estimate Granny to be between 100 and 105 years of age, and she is basically the one, like the senior elder of a tribe, if you will.
Susan, you wanted to add something?
The sea pen there that is waiting for Lolita near her, in her home waters, the mayor of the San Juan Islands, the whole area, have been working for years and years. We gave an Animal Hero Kids Award to a boy in, it was 7 years ago, who was speaking up for Lolita through animalherokids.org. And the fact is that when Lolita was taken from her family, she was 3 to 5 years old. At 1 year of age, they learn how to communicate and get their own food. So Lolita already knows how to do that.
Do you know why, I'll ask you this, Wendy and Dr. Kupke, why, given these situations, if indeed this aquarium and Palace Entertainment is in violation on top of it, why are the lawsuits being dismissed and not even heard at times? Wendy?
It seems that the Animal Welfare Act and just in general animal welfare laws are not very good at protecting animals. A lot is left up to, like, Miami-Dade County to enforce those, and unfortunately they're not.
Dr. Kupke?
Well, I don't know why they keep dismissing them, but a couple of thoughts come to mind. First of all, this is very much a, whilst it is a global issue, the decision makers are very much local, and it would seem to me that if you wanted an issue tried fairly, you would have to get it out of the local community and get it tried at a higher level, a level in which local influence is less able to influence situations. So there's really no reason in God's green earth why these cases should be dismissed. But I will say that dismissing them is a very clever way of avoiding the issues being raised and examined, and that worries me a lot, because what's happening is that these very solid arguments aren't being given a chance to be heard. And at the end of the day, when you put an issue like this in the hands of a court situation, then in theory, the best argument should win. But the problem with dismissing these things is that no attempt is being made to examine this material, and then naturally subject to scrutiny and to make a decision that's right, ethically right.
Well, part of the argument that the protesters have is that Lolita was captured while the Miami Seaquarium was under the aegis of another agency, another organization.
Yeah.
Then it was sold, and somehow her captivity has been grandfathered in.
Which is bizarre, because at the end of the day, this has to be readdressed. She is in the smallest tank of any orca. She's alone. She has no shade. The regulations state that an orca must be able to swim straight across the tank to comply with size regulations. She has to swim around this little island, and she's not even able to do that unless the gates are open. How do you grandfather in something that's wrong?
What is the, and I ask you this, if any, the educational or scientific value of keeping Lolita or other dolphins or marine animals in captivity? Is there any educational or scientific value?
No.
Susan?
No, absolutely not. And as a matter of fact, it is all, we actually don't even need to ask university professors or professionals this basic question, if it is right to take a living, breathing animal that has complex societies and needs, just like we do, whether they be a chimpanzee, a gorilla, a lion, a tiger, any other being. If we love our dogs and we recognize how they are pack animals and how they need, just like we do, company and stimulation, then definitely the answer is no. The time is past for us to think it is okay to take a living, breathing, wild animal out of their natural habitat and put them in something the size of an elevator for the rest of their lives.
Dr. Kupke, you were going to add something?
I was brought up watching Jacques Cousteau. I'm sure a lot of our friends were, too. And he made the statement that observing a whale in captivity. It was like attempting to learn about mankind by studying a prisoner in solitary confinement. Mm-hmm. There's, at best, Lolita's existence at the Seaquarium is out of context. It provides neither scientific data nor educational value. The information program has been revamped, but how can you learn about an animal when it's out of context of everything that defines who it is?
Let us readdress what we said earlier at the beginning of the program, that in putting together today's program, we invited participation from numerous sources, including the Miami Seaquarium and Zoo Miami, and none of the invited groups chose to participate in our program. Bonnie?
Okay. Do we want to take, we have callers that have been waiting a while. Or?
Dr. Kupke, you may have patients waiting for you.
No, we're good. We created
so you can stay with us
a little eye in the hurricane to.
Okay.
Okay. Don't say that. Please.
I know what it's like to be waiting in those vets offices. Okay. Let's move along. Adrian in Miami. Hi there.
Hi. How's it going? I just wanted to call in and honestly call out Miami, and the last time I was there was about 2 months ago, and I saw this jaguar, and I know you described this behavior earlier with the orcas, how they just repeat certain movements, and I saw this jaguar, this apex predator, you know, just kind of shamefully pacing in his pen.
Right.
And it was almost disgusting to watch, you know. And these animals aren't even kept in a large open space throughout the whole day, only for a small amount of time when the zoo is open. So anybody out there listening, don't support it. So if anything, can you guys maybe comment on that and comment on Zoo Miami and their treatment of animals? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. And again, we did ask Zoo Miami's participation a couple of times.
And it's not just coincidental that the captors are not here to justify their captivity for profit. The fact is that the surplus breeding that takes place, so we have cute little baby animals for people to come and look at, ends up having animals what they call surplus. So what often they do is they then sell them to animal dealers. And those animal dealers then sell them to canned hunt operations. There's actually three in the area where I live. Mm. And so the fact is that it's even more than that. So it is absolutely distressing to see an animal display stereotypical behavior, look into their eyes and see that they have given up, that it's a ghost of themselves.
Right.
The misery is all over them, their whole posture. Their entire posture is slumped in absolute. We can empathize with that.
I think I can, if I might add.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I'm old enough to remember zoos when they were literally concrete platforms with iron cages, and it was even more tragic. But one of the things that I've noticed over the years is that, in the late Victorian era, there were all sorts of zoos. They were brought back as trophies as various countries colonially expanded, and they brought back these animals to show off. And, of course, Rome did that thousands of years ago. In the last 20, 30 years, the fields of wildlife photography and wildlife documentaries have moved so incredibly beyond what they started at, to the point where the average person can turn on the television and see animals in their natural habitat behaving naturally, and they achieve their educational exposure to these animals in a way that was not possible 100 years ago. We can't really justify the captivity of these animals anymore, because we don't have 100 years ago we didn't have those alternatives, and then you could say there's no way my child can see a lion unless they go to London Zoo and see it in captivity.
Right.
And now we see an animal that's kept in a place where they're not able to be who they are. Anybody who's seen a decent wildlife documentary of lions in the wild, and you suddenly realize the life that they really deserve, the life that they are, that they were born to be. And the orca issue is brought particularly to bear because they're one of the smartest animals out there, and their environment is even more disadvantaged than any other captive animal I know. I mean, it would be literally like the days when Regent's Park Zoo in London kept a lion in an 8x10 cage, and this poor thing was pacing and pacing and pacing. And that's what I remember when I was six. Yes, the enclosures are better, but they're still not able to be a lion.
Right.
And this poor soul, Lolita Tokite, she is in a silent room with no ability to communicate to others of her own kind, and no ability to move, no ability to be an orca. And it's tragic. And what worries me is eventually she will live out her life and pass. We have an opportunity to do something right, to bring her into back where she came from. And if nothing happens, she will die in that tank.
I just want to say, Wendy King, there's a protest, I believe, that's going to be in a few days. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, this Saturday at Miami Seaquarium from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., we're holding a peaceful protest to urge Miami Seaquarium and their parent companies to retire Lolita. And everyone is welcome. Signs are provided, ice water.
Okay, so it's at the Miami Seaquarium this Saturday from
11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And also each weekend there is a protest at the Miami Seaquarium by Animal Activist Network. And one of our Animal Hero Kids co-presidents, Dominic, who actually banned electroshock prods being used on elephants in Margate and Miramar, wow, he is one of the people that are there every weekend. And you can go to animalherokids.org to get a copy of the book, Animal Hero Kids, Voices for the Voiceless, that has a whole chapter on Lolita and the work that we do here locally and have been doing so for many years. And Dominic has his own page there telling other children his age how they can affect change, how they can speak.
How old is Dominic?
Dominic is now 11 years old. And okay, when he was 8, he banned electroshock prods being used on elephants in the circus in Margate and Miramar by speaking to city commissioners.
Wow.
And let's move along to a next caller, Mark, Coconut Grove. Hey there.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to offer two things, a memory and an idea relative to this aquarium. I grew up here in Miami, and I have very fond memories of this aquarium. But the strongest one and the most important one was when they rescued a slew of pilot whales that had beached themselves, and they had a bunch of volunteers. I was too young to do that, but I admired the volunteers that were there rubbing their backs and feeding them and helping them get reintroduced and saved. So that's my memory. And now I have a 4-year-old daughter, and she is never getting anywhere near that place. Never. Unless, and here's where the idea comes in, the University of Miami Rasmus is next to them and Mastakatti Marine Biology High School in front of them.
Right.
They should really rebrand themselves and close the clown show and open themselves as a rehabilitation center for marine animals. I mean, the infrastructure to do something like that would never be able to be built. And there it is, right next to these two institutions. I would take my daughter to see that every day and let people see the actual actions of them rehabilitating animals. That would be invaluable, and I would pay money to see that.
Wow, Mark, what a great idea.
I actually had that idea to create Animal Hero Kids World and have it also something similar to that, as well as maybe a water park. And Animal Hero Kids, we're a 501c3, would not take over Miami Seaquarium, but help with completely turning it around. Because anyone who is out there that is still displaying captive wildlife and think that you have a future doing this, it's over.
If I may throw in something,
yes,
to support that. You know, this issue doesn't have to be win-lose. I have often felt that this is actually an opportunity for the owners of Seaquarium to get behind this thing. And you just think about the positive publicity,
right,
they would enjoy if instead of blocking this, they would get behind it. Lolita's going to die of old age. When she does, they will never get another orca. It's impossible. So that business that source of income is going to end, and it's already almost a toxic brand for them. Very rarely do you see Lalisa's pictures on their iconography. Last time I saw it was penguins, and agreed, they do good work. I've seen rescued manatees there. You know, they don't have to be cast as the villain in this situation. They could actually be part of the solution. And if they were, commercially, they would do very well out of this.
Susan?
So their choice is simple. Stubbornly hold on to a captive orca until the poor thing dies of old age or disease in captivity, and continue to be painted the cause of that tragedy.
And let's not forget that there are also dolphins,
and
seals.
Absolutely,
and
absolutely.
Penguins,
but
and
for them to get behind this is going to create a change in culture.
And
that is my prayer.
Palace Entertainment actually has a, this is the fear. They have so many other water-themed parks around the world internationally. The fear is that they are going to attempt to transfer Lolita out of there. This is not their only marine mammal park. They have other marine mammal parks around the world. This is a big conglomeration that
right,
we're talking about.
Right. We need to take a break. We're going to come back. That's Susan Hargreaves, founder and executive director of Animal Hero Kids, Wendy King, founder and president of Shutdown Palace, and we're also with Dr. Ian Kupke from Sable Chase Animal Clinic in Kendall. And in addition to working with dogs and cats there, he has been involved in marine mammal rescues and called upon to consult in dolphin and manatee rescues, as well as assisting in occasional whale strandings. So let's take that break, and we'll come back and talk some more and get our calls.
And we're back 49 minutes past 1 o'clock. It is today's topical currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman on this Monday afternoon. We continue our discussion of animal welfare and captivity issues with Wendy King, Susan Hargreaves, and veterinarian Dr. Ian Kupke. Back to the phones. We'll move along to Dwight in Plantation. Dwight, hi.
Hi, great show. My question is, considering the amount of legal challenges that have been brought up and, as you mentioned, dismissed, legality, from my perspective, is really just all about precedent. My dog, as much as I love it, will only be considered my property, and I believe that is the same case as these whales and other animals in captivity. Law enforcement in the United States and across the world has enjoyed now assigning their work animals this type of protected status, giving them a legal identity, which if you do harm a police animal during the commission of its job, it in some states is a capital offense. So since that precedent's already been established, why can't we just make our efforts more of giving these animals a legal identity outside of property?
Right.
There actually is someone that's working on, instead of animals being other animals, because we are animals, being treated as property, that they are individuals with their own rights. And something that we really need to do is to improve the Animal Welfare Act and ask your local senator to back something that is coming out thanks to It actually has not been announced yet, but that doesn't mean that you can't tell your senator that you are for a certain act that will protect animals in the wild more than there are
this
now.
This is state or federal?
This is federal. And it's called TEPA, and it's Traveling Animals and Entertainment Protection Act, TEPA. And that's another thing. Of course, as we evolve as a society and less people take away the motive for keeping these animals in these miserable situations, then they'll go by the wayside, and more sanctuaries will be reaching out to help them, like we have Save the Chimps in Fort Pierce in Florida, the largest chimp sanctuary in the world who have a lot of rescued chimpanzees from. And we have ADI, actually, in the Animal Hero Kids Voices for the Voiceless book. There's a couple of beautiful stories of the three bears that were rescued from the cement tanks in North Carolina, and now they're in a sanctuary. And the lions from Peru, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard about, the lion ark. We're going to hear more and more stories like that when the motive, the financial motive, is gone, thanks to the people voting with their dollar, which is not supporting these cruel places.
We want to say that SeaWorld, which had a terrible reputation, they have a new policy. This happened, I guess, a couple of months ago, to end the captive breeding of orcas at all their facilities. Do you think that that's going to have ramifications elsewhere?
Well, it was actually first in California that was decided, and they were backed into it. They were forced into it because so many people spoke. Yes.
Okay.
And so then they've now decided themselves. They see the writing on the wall. You cannot, thanks to Blackfish, really. I mean, it was in the late 80s that I was arrested with 36 students outside of SeaWorld just for standing on a sidewalk, and nobody really even covered it. Today, if that happened, it would be big news because more and more people are aware that SeaWorld is horrific. I even had a CNN reporter tell me how horrified he was when he saw the polar bears at SeaWorld. Mm.
And did you want to add something, Wendy? Okay.
I had a brief thing to add. The proof of the SeaWorld situation is the fact that their share price is at an all-time low. So literally, people do make the difference. Don't support these institutions. They will no longer see profit in it. But the one difference, that going back to Lolita, there's nowhere to take the orcas of SeaWorld. There's nowhere to The sea pens is as far as you could go with those. With Lolita, we could actually bring her home.
Right.
And that's why this is such an exciting issue, is we can make one wrong thing right. And it would be a wonderful thing to see. And everybody would do extremely well out of it, as well as it being the right thing. So this is not really a logical argument against it.
Right.
And that's what's so frustrating.
And let's remember the elephants, too, in this discussion of captive wildlife. The elephant that I witnessed being electroshock prodded at the circus swap shop in 1988, and I called the police thinking that it must be illegal to report the person who was electroshocking the elephant in a wound, as the elephant was giving rides to 11 children on her back. And that's when I found out, and you'd think I would have known in 1988, that it was actually not illegal to electroshock an elephant in Fort Lauderdale. And it was in 1990 that very same elephant went berserk and killed that trainer that was electroshocking the elephant.
Right.
The elephants now, Ringling says they are not actually going to be using them anymore, but the fact is that they are going to be using them. They're not being retired. They are going to be used for cancer experiments, breeding. They will still be chained, and they will still have bull hooks, which is this hooked instrument that's sharp that goes into their face and around their body, and electroshock prodded. The fact is that all wildlife need to be given the basic freedom to be wild.
And we want to say again
that in putting together today's program, we invited participation from numerous sources, including Miami Seaquarium and Zoo Miami. None of the invited groups chose to participate. We did ask.
So we want to say goodbye to our guests, but we want you to all give out information as we do so. Dr. Kupke is the owner, lead practitioner of Sable Chase Animal Clinic, and has worked a lot with marine mammals. And Dr. Kupke, any advice for our listeners on what they can do?
Best thing to do is to vote with your feet and your dollars. Don't support institutions that keep animals in for display purposes. If you can, save up your money and go and see them where they belong.
Okay. And
practically a religious experience.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us, and thanks for taking the time.
No worries.
Thank you, Doc.
Wendy King is the founder and president of Shutdown Palace. Give us the information about your website and the peaceful demonstration on Saturday.
Sure. We're going to be holding peaceful demonstrations in various states across the nation this Saturday, the 13th. You can go to www.shutdownpalace.net to find a location near you.
Okay. And your email?
Shutdownpalace@yahoo.com.
Okay. And Susan Hargreaves is the founder and executive director of Animal Hero Kids, 34-year veteran of the humane and environmental movement, also the founder of EarthKind, a nonprofit human education organization. Susan, contact information.
AnimalHeroKids.org. We give free presentations in the schools. We're an all-volunteer nonprofit, and we are always looking for kids to give awards to that are being kind and courageous. And we need videos and everyone to join us at AnimalHeroKids.org.
Okay. Thank you all very much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
And that wraps up today's program. Apologies to those callers we couldn't get to. Our producer, Richard Ive, technical direction provided by online coordinator Jason Zabka. Polly Landis is associate producer. We have free audio archives of this program available at our website, WLRN.org, and more information at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow at 1, Bonnie and I return with a program about solar energy and its controversy in the Sunshine State. Two constitutional amendments are ready for voters, but the Amendment 4 is for August 30th, and primary ballot number 1 is in November. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, thanks for listening.